Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are saved. So, Father, tonight we thank you for the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. You said every knee would bow, every tongue would confess to the glory of God the Father, that you are Lord. So, Lord, we thank you tonight that in this place, every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every demonic stronghold, every agenda in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that there's power in that name. So, Lord, we exercise our authority tonight, Lord, that is given to us by the resurrection. And we say in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, have your way in this place tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for your power, for your glory, for your majesty. Lord, tonight we just ask you for a visitation of your spirit in this place. Lord, we decree and we declare no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Lord, we declare tonight that the plans of the enemy will never prosper in our lives. God, we thank you tonight. You said the gates of hell would not prevail against your church. You are raising up a standard. So, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. We thank you, God, for the good things you want to do. We praise you and we magnify you because you are good. Lord, tonight we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, you can be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to minister to you tonight. Just get this word out of my spirit. But our ushers are going to come tonight and wait on us in our giving. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to not only the house of God, but to give. We appreciate that. Because of your help, we're able to do the things that we're called to do. How many of you know God's called us to move? How many of you know he's a moving God? Amen. As we're receiving our offering this morning, do you remember that the children of Israel, they were called to follow the cloud? The cloud was to move. They were to take their tent. They were to follow the cloud. You know what? I not only believe that God desires to move, but I want to follow where he's going. Amen. That's my plan. That's what I want to do. Let me pray over this offering tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give. Lord, we thank you that the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3 to honor the Lord with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. So, Lord, tonight we just return to you the tithe. We thank you, God, that you're faithful. Lord, you always provide for our needs, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for your giving tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your giving tonight. If you're able to stand on your feet with me and turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. And I want to speak to us tonight along these same lines of miracle territory and a different angle here tonight. I'm trying to cover some of the miracles of the New Testament. And I've done some teaching on this passage before. But tonight I want to open it up a little bit more. Mark chapter 5. Verse number 35 reads like this. It says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly, when he came in, he said to them, why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. When they had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, who though they were with him, and entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded no one, strictly, that no one should know it, and that something should be given her to eat. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And we just pray that you would anoint my lips, anoint their ears to hear, Lord, the truth of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Hallelujah. What an honor, amen, to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. And just to be able to open up the word and break the bread of life and really get into the scriptures and see what God wants to do for us and through us. You know, when we come together like this, it's an opportunity every single time to edify one another. The truth of the matter is, yes, you could go home and put on a tape or turn on the TV or turn on the radio and probably could get some preaching, and there's nothing wrong with that in a supplemental type of environment. But you know, there's nothing like coming together with the saints of God. Amen? There's nothing like coming together with God's people in the family of God. So it's an opportunity for us to do that very same thing. You know, tonight I want to minister as we're looking at the subject of the miraculous. I want to look at tonight from the subject, only believe. Everybody say that with me. Say, only believe. You know, we paint ourselves, or we deem ourselves to be faith people or word people, and we pride ourselves in knowing the scriptures and knowing what God's word says. But let me ask you the question today, that in 2018, are we simply thinking too small? Are we thinking too small? You know, tonight I want to challenge us to expand the pegs of our tent, so to speak, and to really wade off into the deep waters and trust God with supernatural things. You know, as I've been praying and believing God and just kind of seeking God after some things, the enemy has in my mind and in my spirit and in my prayer time just launched darts of just hard things, spiritual attacks. The scripture calls them the fiery darts of the wicked one. So I want you to know something tonight, that as I'm ministering and preaching through these things to you, I'm living them as we speak. Because as I said this morning, I believe that some of the greatest obstacles in our lives are indicators of our biggest breakthroughs that are coming down the road. And so here's the thing, we've got to begin to believe God greater. Here's what I want you to get tonight. You cannot believe God past your understanding of revelation. You've got to know what God's word says and be rooted and be grounded in those areas so that your faith can expand and grow. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 with me tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Read it again. Now to him who is able, is he able, church? Come on, I said, is he able, church? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly all you've ever experienced. Is he able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all of your past history? No, come on, somebody. The Bible said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. So perhaps you're thinking too small. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were through the wilderness. And they were going through the wilderness and they were fighting against Moses and all of these things because they didn't like leadership. They didn't like where God was taking them. So they fought against Moses. They murmured, they complained. The snakes were released against them. The book of Numbers records this. And then he makes a statement, Moses does, in the middle of the book of Numbers. It says, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now hold up. How can you limit God? Can I tell you how? We can limit God through our unbelief. Come on, somebody. Wasn't it Jesus who went to his hometown in Nazareth? And the scripture said that not only could he not, but he was hindered, or he was restricted, or he was restrained from doing any mighty work there as the Son of God in flesh because of their unbelief. Matter of fact, the scripture says he marveled at their unbelief. So, church, it's possible tonight that we are not thinking big enough to see the things that God has in store for us. The truth of the matter is, if you can think it, it's probably not God. If you can conceive your dream and see how to do it in your own mind, it's probably not God. Tonight, I'm talking about the supernatural, the unexplainable, the provisionary, miraculous hand of a mighty God. That's what I want you to see tonight. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. See, I think this, we're thinking too small. So we need to increase our capacity to understand and to receive from the great things that God has in front of us. Come on, somebody. You may be sitting here tonight, and you may be saying to yourself, well, you just don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the circumstance or the situation. You don't understand my marriage, my health, my family, no matter what it might be. But I want you to know something. It does not matter how hopeless your situation looks. Come on. Your marriage might be down the drain. You may not have the right education, born from the wrong side of the tracks. You may not have two red pennies to rub together. You may be sick and have been sick for a long time, not only sick and tired, but sick and tired of sick and tired. But here's the truth of the matter. As long as there's breath and a promise of God, there's hope in your life. Come on, somebody. I'm excited about this. I feel like slapping the devil tonight. That's what I feel like doing. You don't have to have the right education. You don't have to have everything in line. Listen, nothing is too hard for God if you don't give up. Look at Jeremiah 32 and 27. He says, behold, I am the Lord your God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I'm the Lord your God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What's the answer tonight? No. Nothing is too hard for God. Here's what the scripture says. His ears are not deaf that he cannot hear. His arm is not short that he cannot reach down and save you. Our God is able, my friend, tonight to do the exceedingly, the abundantly, the above all that we could ever ask him or believe him to do. It's not a marriage he can't fix, a bill he can't pay, a sickness he can't heal. Our God is able, but we just have to believe him. Come on, somebody. I am not a performer. I am a believer. God is the performer. It's my job as a Christian to believe and to receive. Come on now. Scripture tells us time and time again to have faith in God. One of the great thoughts about life is this, is that you and I live in the flesh. Now, our bodies are a vehicle. You ought to treat your vehicle good. Amen? You only get one of them on this side of the earth. When you get to heaven, if you make it in that first resurrection, you'll get a new body. No bad knees, no headaches or anything. But right now, on this side of eternity, God has given us this body. Matter of fact, you go back to Genesis, you look at chapter 1, God created man in his image and in his likeness. Then he formed man from the dust of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life. Then man has this body, this earth suit that he's walking around in. And now all of a sudden, there is a spirit that is housed inside of a body. Now you have five senses. Sight, you've got sight, you've got touch, you've got smell, you've got all of these different perceptions in our life, sound, all of those, the hearing, all of those things, taste. And we're impacted every single day, watch it, by what we hear, by what we smell, by what we see, by what we feel, all of those things. Our attitudes, our thoughts, our values, our actions, are all shaped by what? Our senses. Today, however, I want to challenge you to trust God. Smith Wigglesworth, the great giant of faith, here's what he said. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God. Let me say that again for the people in the back. He said, I'm moved, not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God. This was a man who walked in the supernatural. This was a man who snatched people out of caskets and let them refuse, and he refused to let them die. This was a man who reached, the people had goiters on their neck. He reached up and grabbed them, and they came off in his hand. This was a man who believed God. It was the late Lester Sumrall who told the story about going to England to visit Smith Wigglesworth, and Lester Sumrall had been on the train, and he had had a newspaper that he was reading, and he was bringing this newspaper, and he found out where Smith Wigglesworth lived, and he knocked on the door, and he went to go inside of his house, and Lester Sumrall would not allow him to come in the house with a newspaper. He said, the only thing that's read in my house is the Word of God. And he read the Word of God. He prayed in the Spirit. He prayed in tongues. He built up his faith. He fasted. He sought God until he got a hold of the supernatural. And that's the truth. Here's the issue. You and I are focused. We focus more on our five senses. What we hear. How much of what we hear throughout the day affects us? We turn on the news, all it takes is one line from CNN to incite fear in most people's lives. All it takes is reading something that's a negative report that gets into our spirit. All it takes is a feel, a pain in our body. All of a sudden, your arm hurts. The next thing you know, your brain is talked to into the fact that you're having a heart attack. We're affected by our feelings. But the truth of the matter is tonight, church, is that God has called us to live a supernatural, spirit-filled life. And we're called to be led by the Spirit of God. So what Smith Wigglesworth was trying to say in this quote that he quoted in one of his books, he says, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe God. Tell you a story. There's a man by the name of David Yonggi Cho. David Yonggi Cho, does anybody know who he is? David Yonggi Cho pastors the largest Assemblies of God church in the world in Seoul, South Korea. Largest Assemblies of God church ever. They have hundreds of thousands of members. He fasts and he prays and regularly, and his church is really on fire for God. And one day they called him in to the bedside of a man who was dying. This man was eat up with all type of disease, and this was a man that he knew from the church, and this man had turned ill suddenly. And he said that they called him to the bedside to pray for this man. And he said that as he began to pray for him, he said he couldn't find any faith in his heart to pray for this man. He knew that if he could get connected and hooked up with God, that he could pray for this man and this man would be healed. Thousands of people have been healed under his ministry. But yet this man was in such a decrepit position that looking across the table from him and seeing in the natural how he looked, he said, I don't have any faith. So what he did, he told the family, he said, here's what we've got to do. You've got to allow me to go to my secret place of prayer. And he went away and he got the picture out of his mind of the man and his condition, that how he looked. And he began to think on memories of when this man was well. And all of a sudden, faith began to rise up in his heart. And he began to take hold with God for this man, and this man recovered supernaturally. Church, the truth of the matter is that the way to get a hold of God is to get past this visual, sensual realm called the flesh and get a hold of faith so that we can see God do something great in our lives. See, when Smith Wigglesworth said that, I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God, that is the voice of faith speaking. Now get this, doubt, fear, and unbelief are sent to what? To cripple you. But as long as you're moved by fear, you will do nothing. You know, the scripture says that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. The lion's roar is so amazing. Now, notice the Bible didn't call Satan a lion. It says he is like a lion, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've seen this to be true. I've watched it on National Geographic. I've been in this part of the world, and I've seen it. When a lion finds its prey, oftentimes it's a gazelle that straggled from the herd or something like that. He finds them, and the lion will crouch down, and he will roar to the south of this animal loud. Fear will paralyze this animal, and he won't be able to move because the lion's roar is so boisterous that he literally can't figure out where it's coming from. And so once he gets the animal's attention, the lion will make a semicircle. And he'll go around to the other side, and he'll roar again. And this time, the gazelle or whatever the animal is looking around both sides. And then he does that on all four points of this animal to that the animal is so confused and paralyzed by fear, it doesn't move. And that's exactly what fear does in your life. When the enemy comes with reports, circumstances, situations, he brings fear into our lives so we don't move. He says things like this: you'll never go back to college. You'll never build that house. You'll never start a business. You'll never step out in ministry. That's exactly what the devil wants. Motionless Christians who are only moved by what they see. Does the name Hudson Taylor ring a bell for anybody? Hudson Taylor was a missionary to the inland of China. And Hudson Taylor, they used to do missions a lot different back in the day. Today, they make you itinerate, raise all this money, and you can't go until they tell you and all of this stuff. And I'm not 100% sure how I feel about all that. Hudson Taylor went on the word from God. He had some change in his pocket, and he had a word from God. And he got ready to go to China and turn the world upside down for Jesus. And so Hudson Taylor, watch this, he wrote this to his wife during one of the most difficult times in his work in China. Here's what he said. He said, "We have 25 cents and all the promises of God." How many know if you've got 25 cents and all of the promises of God, that's all you need? Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And if you have enough faith to dare to believe God in the middle of the impossible things in our lives, it'll end up producing the harvest that we and I need in our lives. See, that's all we need. Hudson Taylor's faith ended up producing a large missionary society with hundreds of missionaries under them and souls to Christ. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened if he would have stopped because he didn't have enough? See, here's the thing. Faith in God will produce what you need. Hebrews 11 tells us this. He says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But they that come to God must believe that he is, and that what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How many know God's a rewarder? One person said it like this. They said, with God, payday is not always on Friday. But with God, there's always a payday. Because God is a rewarder of faith. See, Hudson Taylor, I'm glad that he wasn't moved by what he could see. And just like him, in our life, we're all going to be faced with circumstances that look bleak and grim. And it's in those moments that we have to make a conscious decision to follow God into the realm of the unknown. I want to look back at Mark 5 together as we kind of tie this in, as I've kind of given you just an intro to this passage tonight. But in Mark 5, we danced around that parallel passage. This is actually right after the man at Gadara that we talked about this morning. Right after that, in Mark chapter 5, we see something that is so amazing. Verse 35, we see that Jesus had just passed through a crowd. And he was on the way to this ruler's house. And a woman stopped him in the middle of his tracks. One of the greatest miracles recorded in the Gospel of Mark happened, what I believe, on accident. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus wasn't going to minister to her. He had his face fixed on another area. And this woman was sick and tired of being sick and tired. How many know sometimes that's to the point that you have to get? I'm sick of the breathing tubes. I'm sick of the medicine. I'm sick of everything. It's like the lepers that were sitting outside the gate of the city of Samaria. Why sit here until we die? We can move and die, or we can sit here and die. We might as well get up and do something. Come on, somebody. The woman with the issue of blood was unclean. She was at home. She was isolated from her family, Levitically unclean. And she pressed her way through the crowd because she heard that Jesus was coming. But Jesus wasn't even going to her house. Jesus was on the way to the ruler of the synagogue's house. But Jesus was slightly delayed. Delayed. Have you ever felt like you were asking God for something and he didn't show up right when you thought he should? Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. You know, we don't always understand the plan and the timing of God, but God does. And this woman reached out and she got a miracle from Jesus. Jesus didn't touch her, she touched him. That's faith. Come on now. See, sometimes when you need a miracle, you can't just wait on the latest revival or tent revival preacher or the person you like on TV to come on. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to reach out with your hand of faith and grab a hold of the master and not let him pass you by in that moment. Now, this man is believing God for a miracle because his daughter has fallen sick. Verse 35 picks us up in our passage. It says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Isn't that sad? You're believing God for a miracle. You're believing God for the supernatural. You're believing for that cancer to be gone. You're believing for that brain issue, that stroke to be reversed. You're believing for that thing to turn around, and you're just holding on to Jesus, and then you get a word that she's dead. There's nothing left. There's no hope. You need to start planning a funeral. How many of you know those are devastating words for a parent to hear? Totally devastating. But I love verse 36 because it said, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Isn't this interesting? Because as soon as the bad report came, what did Jesus address? Huh? Their fear. As soon as the bad report came, Jesus addressed the fear. Why? I tied it in this morning. When the storms of your life come, they come to produce fear. And Jesus heard it, and he said, do not be afraid, only believe. This is a supernatural act of faith that Jesus is dealing with right here in this passage. So I want to look at this as we begin to just break this down and apply this a little bit more in our lives. Said he, verse 37 said he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. In those days, they had professional mourners. They paid people to cry at your funeral. Isn't that sad? There's a big commotion out. Jesus is pressing his way through there. He gets into the house and puts everybody out but the mom and the dad. And he speaks a word of faith to this girl. And he says, "Daughter, I say unto you, arise." And at that moment, something supernatural happened. The breath of God came into her body. Her heart began to beat again. She woke up out of the bed and she was restored. And Jesus said, "Get her something to eat." See, there's a couple things out of this passage tonight that I think you and I need to understand. If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, delayed does not mean denied. Y'all missed a good place to shout. Did you get a nap today? Delayed does not mean denied. What does that mean? That means that when it looks like it's over, it doesn't necessarily mean it's over. Listen, I heard a story here a while back about a girl in Woodward. She was carrying a dead baby. She went to the ultrasound. Her baby was dead. It had no heartbeat in her body. A lady in our community prayed for her. She was going back to the doctor to get a DNC, to get the baby sucked and scraped out. And when they went back in, they felt a heartbeat. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter what's dead in your life. God has the power to breathe life even into the deadest of situations. Hallelujah. Delayed doesn't mean denied. I can just think about tonight, the children of Israel who were called out of Egyptian bondage, and they're coming through the mighty hand of Pharaoh, the taskmaster, and he's whipped them and he's beat them and he's increased their brick load, and they're running, and the death angel has passed through of the 10th plague, and they all get their stuff and they apply the blood of the lamb to their house and they run out into the wilderness. The Bible said that he did not take him by the land of the Philistines, even though it was closer. You know, God doesn't always take you the shortcut. But he took them through the wilderness. And so they went through the wilderness, and they came up against an obstacle. The Red Sea. And once again, they begin to murmur and complain against Moses and say, "Why did you bring us out here to die? We liked it better in Egypt, Moses, the way we used to do it. Yeah, sure, it was hard, but at least we had leeks and onions and stuff like that to eat. Aren't there any graves in Egypt? But I'm glad that God anointed that stick, that staff, and those waters parted. Just when it looked like it was over and they could hear the hoofs of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, God supernaturally opened up the Red Sea, and they went in on dry ground, and their enemies were literally baptized in God's judgment right there in the Red Sea. How many of you know it's not over till it's over? I'm reminded tonight of Lazarus. Mary and Martha say, "Lord, my brother is sick." And the Bible says Jesus did not go immediately. If Jesus were most people's pastor, they would have voted him out. Because he didn't come when they came calling. And then Jesus gets news that Lazarus is dead, and Jesus says, he has the audacity to say, "I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there." No compassion. This Jesus guy is, sometimes he's something. He told a guy, "Don't go to your dad's funeral. Let the dead bury the dead." And then he tells this woman, and she's sad about her brother that had passed away. And Jesus' response is, "I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there." Wow. And Jesus says, "Well, he'll rise again." You know, she's thinking in the flesh. She says, "Lord, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection." And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus, on the fourth day of Lazarus, wrapped up in grave clothes and he's stinking and all of those things, Jesus speaks and calls forth Lazarus out of this grave. And the Bible said he comes forth bound hand and foot, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And Lazarus came up out of that tomb alive, and they were dumb enough to try to kill him again. Seriously, Lazarus, go back and read it. It's funny. Lazarus is risen from the dead. They see a miracle. He goes to follow Jesus, and it says they sought to kill him again. Wow, how crazy. But it looked like it was over. The truth of the matter is, it looked like it was over on the cross. When all of the devil's and hell's army were stationed around the cross as they saw the Son of God taken down and put in the tomb. But the scripture says that if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Come on, delayed is not denied. I'm glad that when my circumstance doesn't look like all is well, I'm glad to understand that there is a God who can step in at the last moment. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I wonder tonight if there's anything in your life that looks dead. I wonder if there's anything in your life tonight that needs a resurrection. I wonder tonight if your hopes and your dreams and your ambitions and your call and everything on the inside of you has laid dormant and died, and the people of the world have said, why even trouble Jesus about it any longer? But I'm glad that he has the last word. Now look at this. Verse number 36, it says, when he heard that it was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Number one is delayed does not mean denied, but number two is belief is a choice. You know, fear is a choice. That's why he said, fear not. He would have not said, fear not, if you didn't have a choice. But fear is a choice. But I want you to know something. Faith and belief is also a choice. Faith and belief is also a choice. He said, do not be afraid, only believe. See, fear is flesh-based. It's motivated by our senses, what we can perceive in the natural realm. But faith is spiritual, is spiritually based, and it does not demand a logical answer. So in the middle of an impossibility, we literally have the option to either fear or to believe God. To fear or to believe God. Let me tell you something. When you need a miracle in your life, you'll go through crazy things. I like this here in verse 37. It says that, and he permitted no one to follow him. This is talking about Jesus. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when he went, look at it. It says, and when he went in, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He saw the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. How many know sometimes it's hard to believe God when there's a bunch of people around crying, feeling sorry? Amen? You know, one of the saddest things to me as a pastor that I've ever experienced is when people call me to the hospital to pray for their dying loved one, and you've got some of the family are believing God to raise them up. The other half of the family have already planned their funeral. So sad. I have literally been in waiting rooms where I have seen family fighting over grandma's stuff and grandma hadn't even died yet. So sad. You know, the worst funerals and deaths bring out the best and the worst of people. So Jesus is rolling through here. He brings his three, Peter, James, and John, and they go into the house and they pass by and they see this commotion. And Jesus asks the question, or he says the statement, he says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Here's the question. Is she dead or is she sleeping? The man's servant said, she's dead. Jesus said, she's sleeping. Who are you going to believe? Well, okay. Well, that's an easy answer. The doctor said, you got cancer. Jesus said, you're healed. Who are you going to believe? Come on now. I'm just a simple preacher. I don't have to be able to pronounce every Greek word and know every homiletic, hermeneutical thing in the world. I mean, you know, it was Leonard Ravenhill who said this. He said, one day some poor soul is going to open up the Word of God. They're going to read it, believe it, and the rest of us will be ashamed. Think of it. The Bible is not a book simply to be explained. It's a book to be obeyed. It's a faith book. So Jesus makes a statement. He said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And look at what the very next verse says. It says, and they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. Wow, that hurts. Jesus, the Son of the living God, is being ridiculed because of a statement of faith. No, here's what Jesus said, or here's what the scripture said about Abraham, our father of faith. It says that he calls those things that be not as though they already were. God called Abram Abraham before he ever had the first child. God did a bunch of things like this in the scripture that don't make sense to us, but it only makes sense when you're walking in the realm of faith. So look at this. Jesus said in verse 39, he says, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but is sleeping. They ridiculed him. But when he put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and they entered the house where the child was lying. And we see that in this passage, Jesus speaks a word. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus put the people outside who were ridiculing him. Why is that? Because unbelief is the enemy of faith. You know, this is not a one-time thing in the scripture. Jesus had a blind man that he led him outside of the city before he healed him because they had previously rejected Jesus in the city. They had no belief. So Jesus took a man outside of the city and healed him. Jesus in his own hometown couldn't even heal but just a few minor ailments because of the people's unbelief. So understand this. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him into this difficult situation and he puts everybody else out. Do you know that when you're trying to believe God, you've got to do whatever you got to do? Hallmark cards are great, and I like sympathy notes, but compassion and sympathy have never healed anybody. Compassion opened up the area for Jesus to minister healing, but it was faith that caused the miraculous to happen. And a lot of times when things happen in our lives and there's a diagnosis or there's a sickness or there's something, there's a lot of weeping, there's a lot of crying, there's old grandma had that and uncle had that and everybody in your family had that and you're probably going to die from that too. Sometimes you got to put all of that outside if you want a miracle. So Jesus had to silence the unbelief. So he put them outside. Let me ask you a question. What voices are speaking into your ear? What voices are speaking into your ear? What do you mean by that? Here's exactly what I mean by that. I remember the cartoon when I was a little kid. Roadrunner. Anybody remember that? Tweety Bird. Do you remember in the cartoon? They had the little devil on one side and the little angel on the other. And they would talk back and forth into their ear. See, it's very important who you're listening to. If you're believing God for a miracle, you need to hook yourself up with people of like faith. You need to hook yourself up with people of like faith. If you're believing for the supernatural, that's why it's so important to share our testimony with other people. The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We need to hook ourselves up with people who have the same passion and have the same witness that God can do anything. I've seen people pray their children out of homosexuality. That's a strong perversion devil. I've seen people pray their husbands out of alcoholism. I've seen people pray their way out of poverty into prosperity. I've seen people literally pray themselves out of cancer and life-controlling illnesses. But in those moments of believing God, you've got to make sure that you silence the voice of unbelief. Now, let's look a little further. I like what he says. It says in verse 40 that they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying, and he took the child by the hand. And he said to her, Talitha Kumni, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and she walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with amazement. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. You know, why is this important? I'll tell you why this is important. This is important because this man received a miracle from the Lord. I want you to look it back with me. In Mark chapter 5, in verse number 21, and let's back up as we get ready to close tonight. Verse 21 says, and now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, that a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogues came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly. And he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And so Jesus went, and a great multitude thronged him. And a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Here's what I want you to see. This man had already engaged Jesus. He saw the Lord's level of compassion towards the sick. The Bible says that Jesus began to walk. Here's what you can't forget. Jesus was already walking towards his house when he was interrupted. In other words, he had already gotten his attention. And so now he's walking, and there's an interruption. See, number three, here's what I want you to see. God is faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his promise. You know, I don't care what you're believing for. Don't give up. No matter how dead it looks, we got to be like Ezekiel that prophesies to the dead bones even and says, come back to life. Sometimes you have to prophesy to what's left. Job lied in a pile of ashes when everything he owned had burned up. Family gone, cattle gone, houses gone. He laid there in a pile of his own former existence. And he began to cry out to God. I'll tell you something, it doesn't matter what's left. The truth of the matter is, we serve a God who can create something out of nothing. The whole universe was created by his word. So you know what that tells me tonight? It doesn't matter what your whole world looks like right now. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. What are you believing for tonight? Is there anything in your life you've given up on? You've said, oh, well, that was just a wild, crazy dream. I don't think I could ever do that. No. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you a revelation as we're closing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What we think about that, and people have preached, that if they just follow Jesus, he'll give them everything they want. That's not what that means. It literally means in the Hebrew that if you delight yourself in God, God will literally give. He will place the desires in your heart. So listen to me. If God has put something in your heart to do something big, don't write that off. I mentioned it this morning. The devil doesn't call people to do great things for God. The devil doesn't call people to start ministries or to preach or to be givers or to be disciples or anything like that. If God has put something in your heart, hold on to it and don't let it die. The second thing I want to tell you tonight is this. If there's sickness in your body, you know, I preach on healing all the time. I'm convinced of this stuff. I can't believe for anybody else. I can believe for myself, but I can teach you faith. Here's the thing. We've got to believe God and hold on until we see it come to pass. Come on now. Even if you don't get an instant healing, if you got 50% of your hearing back, that'd be better than none. And I've seen God do that. I've seen Him incrementally heal people. That's scriptural. It says, and He healed them as they went. Come on now. Celebrate the little things and see God do some great things. But it'll never happen wallowing in pity and unbelief. We got to be like the man who had this daughter, and Jesus said, man, don't fear what it looks like. Just believe me. Believe my promises. I'm a good God. Stand with me tonight. Numbers. The book of Numbers tells us that God is not a man that He should lie. Neither is He the son of man that He should repent. He said, have I not spoken it? And shall I not also bring it to pass? Oh, hallelujah. He said, my covenant, Psalms. He said, I will not alter the covenant that has gone forth from my lips. I love what Isaiah 50:59 says. He says, as the rain falls and the snow from heaven and it waters the earth and buds, He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll accomplish what I've sent it to do. Psalm said, I watch over my word to perform it. Psalms also said, oh Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. See, the Bible says in Peter, we have a sure word of prophecy. We serve a God who has a great track record. And you can't show me where God has ever failed anybody. Tonight, that same God wants to meet your needs. If we can just simply grab hold and believe Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight for Your word. God, I thank You, Lord, that Your word is power. Lord, when You were given the parable of the seed and the sower, You said the sower sows the word, and some of it goes out on stony ground. You said some of it falls by the wayside. Birds come and pluck it up. You said others are scorched by the heat of the day. But Lord, You said there was some seed that went down into good ground, and it produced some 30, 60, and 100 fold. Lord, tonight I pray this word would not fall on deaf ears, that it would not fall upon hard ground. Lord, that the thorns and thistles wouldn't choke it out, but Lord, that it would be in a receptive heart to produce fruit in our lives. Lord, may we be like the woman with the issue of blood that was sick and tired of being sick and tired. May we be like the centurion or the synagogue where he says, Lord, come and lay your hands on my daughter, and I know that she'll be healed. Lord, let us have an assurance and a confidence in Your word that we're not moved by what we see or what we've heard. We're only moved by Your word. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. If you're here, and I just feel tonight strongly that whatever it is, you need to give it to God. You need to come and lay it down at the altar, and you need to give it to God. Whether it's a sickness, a husband and wife situation, whether tonight it's a family situation, financial, no matter what it is, God's word to you tonight is this: do not fear, only believe. And then, after you give it to God, here's some homework. After you give it to God, I want you to go home and get a scripture or two to stand on this week. And you memorize it, you tape it to your mirror, you do whatever you have to do. You quote that thing, even if you don't feel like it and you don't believe it. You just quote it. By his stripes, I am healed. Well, I don't feel like it. That's why the scripture said, let the weak say, I'm strong. You got to quote the word. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I have the mind of Christ. I'm renewed. The Bible said the outward man is perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. Lord, I'm strong in my spirit. You get a hold of the word. You confess it. You believe it. The Bible said, I esteem your word more than my necessary food. How much more do we need to hunger after the things of God? Tonight, nobody looking around, if you need to come and bring something to the Lord, I'm asking you to step out right now and find a place. You and Jesus tonight, whether it's sickness, whether or not it's a family situation, you come and you bring it to the Lord and you leave it at this altar. And then you find your scripture to stand on and say, Lord, I'm standing upon your word. I'm standing upon your word. Will you come tonight? I'll pray with you. I'll come. I'll join my faith with you. If you say, I'm tired, Lord, I'm weary, but I'm standing in faith. Come on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to come. One, two, three, step out. Somebody else may step out if you step out. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. You can kneel, you can come, you can stand. Tonight is about drawing a line in the sand and saying, devil, enough's enough. Enough's enough. I'm standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Come on, people are coming all over tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, begin to lift your voice up to Him. Hallelujah. Come on, let this atmosphere shift with worship and prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, we lay it down. We lay it down tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. Father, we fight the fight of faith. We fight the fight of faith. We lay hold to the promises of God. They are yes and amen. Lord, you've not brought us this far to fail. Oh, hallelujah. Church, I'm going to pray. And you just join with me as you're praying this evening. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I thank you for these people tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the plan of God for their life. Lord, I declare no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Lord, I pray that as the enemy comes in one way, he'll have to flee seven ways. Lord, let their enemies fall to the wayside. Lord, prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. Lord, tonight I pray any sickness that's trying to linger and attach itself to their body, every cancer cell would die, every tumor dissipate, every blood vessel go back to normal in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, I thank you today. You're the God who heals all of our diseases. Lord, you said, I'll bless your bread and I'll bless your water and I'll take sickness out from the midst of you. Lord, oh, hallelujah. Make us a peculiar people, a people of faith, a people that believe you. Lord, even when things seem tough and the circumstances seem bleak, but God, we reach out with the hand of faith and we believe your promises tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for spouses tonight who aren't living right. Lord, tonight I thank you that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said that the unbeliever would be sanctified by the believer. So, Lord, I pray that the life that they live would be a testimony in front of them who don't know you. God, that they would conduct themselves differently in the home, and that they would serve their spouse as unto the Lord, and that they would see a change in their lives. Father, I pray tonight for wayward children, children who are prodigals, who are away from you. Lord, that tonight that you would send the hounds of heaven, Lord, to just be on their trail. Send conviction, Lord, wherever they might be, whether it's the crack house, the den of ill repute, God, no matter where they may be, Lord, the bar, you're able to go in anywhere they might be and speak to their hearts. Lord, I thank you right now that you would drive the taste of alcohol in people's mouths. Lord, let the cigarettes taste nasty. God, let the methamphetamine make them sick. God, deliver, Lord, these people tonight that they might know who you are, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray over the financial needs of these people tonight. Lord, I pray that as they tithe and give, Lord, that you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a measure of abundance over their lives that they had never lacked for any good thing. Lord, that they would have not only enough to meet their needs, but enough to give away to meet somebody else's needs. Lord, that they could be a blessing to the body of Christ. Lord, whatever it is, we just lift it up to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for jobs, and I feel this in my spirit tonight. Lord, I pray for jobs. I pray for promotions and raises and increase and unexpected bonuses. Lord, I pray for things that were unexpected to come to your people who've been faithful. Because the scripture said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So, Lord, I thank you today that you would bless your people abundantly. Lord, I pray for this house here tonight that needs to sell. Lord, I pray right now the right buyer would walk by this house. Lord, they'd see it. They would be illuminated. Hallelujah. It'd be just what they wanted for the right price. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you tonight that there are people in this room, Lord, that they've got to go back to a doctor for a checkup and get tests run. Lord, I pray for a complete reversal of the diagnosis in their lives. Lord, where there used to be tangles and knots, may there be nothing in Jesus' name. God, I thank you tonight that you're the God of the impossible. And we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, tonight I'm asking you, turn the hearts of hard-hearted people. May they be sensitive to your voice. May tonight they be smitten by the love of God. Lord, that they might see your plan and purpose for their lives. Lord, I thank you that even though it looks dead, that tonight, Lord, you're able to take even the embers and breathe upon them and create new life. Oh, bless you, holy God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
A miracle working God, you are. A miracle working God, you are. A miracle working God, you are. A miracle working God, I know.
Miracle working God, you are.
on, let's lift our hands up to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, would you just press in for a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I just feel the Lord just wants some worship tonight. Come on. Just us, just an intimate time of worship with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Miracle working.
Moment. I feel like there's a pause right here. Let's don't rush through. Let's don't run the stop sign tonight. I'm not a perfect pastor, but I try to listen to Jesus. Hold on. Let's wait for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to be sensitive to you right now. Not trying to make anything happen. I just want to be sensitive to you, Lord. Let the Lord speak to you right now. Hallelujah. I believe God is speaking to somebody tonight about a decision. An important decision. And I feel like I hear the Lord say to you tonight, you better be careful that you make the right decision. Don't be hasty, but listen for the instruction of the Lord. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but stay focused until you hear a word from instruction. See, church, a lot of times we want to run forward and ask God to bless what we're doing, but sometimes we need to stop and ask Him what He's doing. Amen. I feel like that's a word of caution for somebody tonight. You need to stop and hold on and just see what the Lord is trying to say to you. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that God is calling you to a secret place. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. A secret place. A place of intimacy. I heard a story one time about an older couple that were in their 70s. They lived out on a farm. Just to keep this atmosphere of prayer. An older couple, they were out on the farm and they had this big stick shift truck, you know, farm truck. And they were just driving along and the husband was driving. The wife was over here by the, you know, the passenger door, and they're driving into the sunset. She looks at him and she says, "Honey," she says, "I sure do miss the days when we first met." She said, "You know, I remember the romance. Said, you know, we would hold hands, and you know, I'd lay my head over on your shoulder, and you'd whisper sweet nothings to me, and now here it is, and I'm here, and you're over here. The man, without blinking an eye, looked at his wife and said, honey, I'm in the same spot. You're the one that moved. Hear the word of the Lord, church. If you're not as close to God as you used to be, I got news for you. He's not moved. We're the ones that have to move back to him. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I wonder tonight how many of you, see, we've always described backsliding as falling back into sin. But I want to submit to you tonight that backsliding, often more than it is falling back into sin, it can simply be just not being as on fire for God as you used to be. The greatest fear that I see in Revelation chapter 3 is the church at Laodicea, that they were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And Jesus tells them to return back. He said, I wish you were hot. I wish you, but you're cold. He said, but you're lukewarm. You know what he said? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That is dangerous prophetic scripture. The truth of the matter is, I felt that in my spirit tonight. God wants us to take a step towards him. And you know what that means? That doesn't happen at the altar tonight. That happens at home tomorrow. That happens in your devotional time. That happens in your prayer time when you're getting ready for work in the morning and you're seeking after the Lord. That you just simply say, Lord, I want to draw closer to you. And you allow him to come back, realizing that it's not him that moved, but we did. Stand with me across this building tonight. Let me pray a prayer of dismissal. We invite you to come back Wednesday night. Wednesday night will be our last session in healing school before we go on to the gifts of the Spirit. So be sure you come Wednesday night. Lord, bless your people. Lord, that they would be full of wisdom, full of insight. Lord, salt and light to the world around them. Lord, I pray that tonight that you would visit them divinely in their dreams, with dreams and visions. Lord, may you speak to them out of the scripture in such a profound way that it's something they haven't seen in a long time. Lord, may your voice be ever present in their ears. Lord, because we do expect you to speak to us, because the scripture said, my sheep know my voice. So Lord, tonight, bless them as they go out into their world. May they be fruitful in the things of God. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. You can be dismissed tonight. The Lord bless you. I want to see you back on Wednesday. Have a great night in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.